Philemon 1, and we're going to pick up tonight at verse number 12. Philemon 1, verse 12, the Bible says this. Let's get a little context of it. He says, verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Father, thank you for your word. Please help and direct us and guide us tonight. We pray in the Lord Jesus' precious and blessed name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay, so interesting book. Interesting book. If folks north and south of a line called Mason-Dixon had both got hold of some things in the book of Philemon, it might have helped with a lot of things. You can't expect the lost to have, but there's some interesting things in the book of Philemon. Very, very interesting. Applicable to believers who want to walk with God and look at things in a real spiritual sense. Not merely just cut and dry as far as don't do this, do that, but things having to do with the heart and such. And we'll see it tonight. Look at verse 12. Because remember now, Philemon has a servant. A servant that he has legal right to, Onesimus. And Onesimus has ran away. He was unprofitable to Philemon. He evidently was not a good servant. He was unprofitable. But he ran away to Paul. Paul let him stay with him. And Onesimus got converted. Now Paul's sending him back. And Onesimus is going back as a saved man. But let's look at verse 12. Paul says to Philemon, whom I have sent again. So who is he sending? Onesimus. He's sending Onesimus back. Now, from what we can tell, Onesimus was probably being sent back with Tychicus along with the letter to the brethren at Colossae, the book of Colossians. Take your Bible, go to Colossians 4. Philemon lived in Colossae, all right? And he would have been one of the brethren that the book of Colossians was written to. And Colossians 4, look at verse 7. Colossians 4, verse 7. Paul says to the brethren at Colossae, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant of the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. This Onesimus, all right, is Onesimus that Paul is writing to Philemon about. He had gotten saved. So Paul could even call him now a faithful and beloved brother. But he's sending him back. So evidently he was coming back when Tychicus was sent also with the letter to the Colossians sent with them. Go down to verse 9 is where I was having to go to. Go back now to Philemon 1. Notice that Paul sends Onesimus back because Philemon, why is he sending him back? Philemon has lawful authority over Onesimus. Now listen, this is Roman times, okay? Under the Mosaic law, if a slave ran away, the Jews were not to deliver that slave back, you know. There was, you see that in Deuteronomy and such as that. But brethren, they're operating under Roman law. And Philemon has lawful authority to Onesimus. And he is sending him back. Paul is sending him back. All right? He's got lawful authority to send him back. Salvation does not negate the master-servant relationship. It's just all there is to it. Salvation does not negate the master-servant relationship. Go to Galatians 3. In the Bible, when someone got saved, if they were a master, they better be a good master now. If someone got saved and they were a bondservant, a slave or a bondservant, then they better be a good one now. And that means that both master and servant would go to church, worship together. They were fellow brethren in the Lord, but they were still master and servant. Husband and wife get saved. They're equal in Christ. But in the body, in the flesh, they're still husband and wife. Husband, wife, and children, they're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're still husband, wife, children. If somebody's your boss and they get saved and you're their employee, then you know what? You are brothers in Christ and you are equal. You come to church there, but next day at work, he's boss, you're the employee. And salvation doesn't negate those relationships. Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, notice that. That's in Christ Jesus. But in the flesh is not in Christ Jesus. And we still have those relationships. That's why Paul could speak in Ephesians about masters and children and wives and husbands and those relationships. All right. So see, the flesh is not in Christ Jesus. We await the redemption of the body. We still have those relationships in Christ. In Christ, there is no male nor female. There is no bond nor free. In heaven, the Bible said, Jesus said, there's no marrying or giving in marriage, but there are angels of God in heaven. But in these bodies, there are those relationships. And you've got to rightly divide and understand that, or you'll get in a fix and in a mess. So always remember that. So now, but think about it. What authority did Paul have to send Onesimus back? I mean, think about it. He let him stay there for a while. Long enough to be under his preaching and teaching. He got saved and he evidently grew some of the Lord. But he's sending him back. What's the authority? Scriptural, spiritual, apostolic authority. I mean, think about it. He's sending him back, and Onesimus is going back. I mean, Onesimus could say, Paul, you ain't got no authority to send me back. I'm running somewhere else. But he's a saved young man now. He's saved. And Paul's sending him back. Well, why? Paul has the apostolic, scriptural, spiritual authority to do that. And, I mean, he couldn't force him to. Paul's a prisoner. But Onesimus is bound as a saved man by a higher something that he knows and he's aware of. And though in a rebellious flesh, he could look at Paul and say, you can tell me what to do. No, sir. That's a saved man who realizes this is the best thing and I'm going back. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now look, somebody that has scriptural, spiritual authority over you, no, they're not going to take, listen, a pastor or somebody that, that has spiritual authority there, no, they're not going to take and force you or have the law come in and force you. No, it's not going to happen like that. But if you know the Lord, there should be something higher than that that works on your heart and would cause you to submit to it, rightfully so, and to understand and submit to that and trust. You know, that should be there. Again, it all gets back to this common thing constantly, it seems lately, consistently, about authority. Paul sent him back after he was saved. You know something? That was some wisdom on Paul's part. Think about this a minute. Does Philemon have lawful legal authority over Onesimus? Yes, indeed. He, in the Roman law, no doubt, he has legal authority. Paul, if you will, Paul's a prisoner. Paul is not keeping Onesimus against his will. What can Paul do? He's a prisoner himself. You understand? It ain't like Paul's, you know, all he can do is urge him, and under apostolic authority, you know, spiritual authority, send him back. But he doesn't do it right off. He doesn't do it right off. He lets him sit there, lets him learn, he gets saved. You know, if he had sent him away before this, he would probably have just ran somewhere else. It brings up interesting scenario that I think we would do well to file away and let the Lord guide us in some situations that may arise sometimes in our lives. Seriously. Brethren, you're going to have situations possibly sometime in your life to where any of you fellas, Chris, you're dealing with youth and dealing with, and then you'll have some wild situations come up that will take wisdom. That will take wisdom. Philemon had legal right to Onesimus. Now, Barry, there's some interesting things tonight in these passages. Paul sends him back after he's saved. You know something? I think he handles that with some wisdom. Because if he'd have just said, now, Onesimus, you belong to Philemon. Legally, you're his. You need to get him back. That boy ain't going back. That boy ain't going back. Not for he's saved, he's not. That boy ain't going back. He ran away from Philemon. He's going somewhere else. He's going somewhere else. Now, I know somebody could have said, well, Paul, the right thing to do. It's always easy to talk about the right thing to do until we're in the situation. It's always easy to talk about the right thing to do until you're the one in it and want to help somebody. Brethren, sometimes the right thing to do is certainly the right thing to do, but there's also the timing of when to do the right thing. The timing of when to do that right thing. Because, look here, you may do the right thing and end up that the situation's worse. Onesimus could have run away to who knows where, and who knows what would have happened. By hanging him, letting him hang around there a little bit and trying to help, maybe he can be sent back right. Brethren, be careful that in your desire and fear to make sure you do the right thing and not do the wrong thing, that you don't also give into account a little bit of compassion, a little bit of leeway, a little bit of the, okay, let's see, let's get our timing right on this thing. Let's work with this thing. Of course, the right thing is going to be the right thing. But what's some common sense in this thing also to use? How can we look at this thing here just a minute and think through this thing in the right kind of way? You understand? Man, brethren, it's there always be brethren who always say, look, the thing to do is just this. And ultimately, it probably is, okay, it's fine. But could there work in the equation a way of handling it that can work out best for everybody overall? Do you understand me? Yes, Paul could have maybe said, Onesimus belongs to Philemon. Legally, he is his. You got to go back, Onesimus. I ain't going back. See you. What's Paul going to do? Paul's a prisoner himself. He ain't going back. That boy's going to run. But you know what? If Paul can just take, as he's done here, and work with him a little bit, maybe this boy can go back right and everybody's better off. And you know what? He's going back a saved man. Paul now says, Philemon, he's going to be profitable to you now. And so it worked, there's that element of just like, you know what? Look here, y'all. If Philemon had demanded him back, well, Paul would have had to send him. But evidently he hadn't done so. In fact, we're going to see something real interesting in just a minute. Real interesting. Onesimus and will go back and be received by grace, not law and demand. There's something precious to see. You know, when authority demands, it must be yielded to. But reason and grace are stronger incentives. Youngin runs away from home. Maybe comes to your house. Okay. If that authority demands it, you've got nothing to do but yield to it. That's okay. But you know something? If maybe a cooling off time, that reason and grace can enter into the equation, ultimately maybe everybody can be benefited all the way around. Now sometimes, brother, you may have some situations sometimes, and if the person's, you can't do anything about that. But boy, if somebody could be talked to and worked with and say, look, I understand, and what I want is to get this child back to your house just like you do. But maybe maybe we, if we give a little cooling off here. Let's think things through. Let's talk it over. Let's see if we can't come so that they can come back and be good. And it be, you know what I'm saying? And if you try to reason and it can't work out, okay, you've done what you can. But I'm just saying, brethren, you see Paul kind of working that way in this situation. And let me say something. That's the way the Lord deals with us. Law doesn't get us saved. It's grace. It's grace. And the Lord says, come now, let's reason together. Reason and grace are stronger incentives. When faced with such a situation, try to reason with all involved. And can I tell you something? Every situation's got its intricacies. Do you know it? Every situation has got its intricacies. Now, when you play a legal card, well, no, that's just kind of like, there we go. Okay, there's a legal demand. But you know something? Every situation, if we work with reason and grace, every situation has got its intricate details. It just does. You know, young, and sometimes one of the hard lessons you're going to have to learn, and you might as well learn it in your home because you're going to find it out in life, that not every dealing is the same. And sometimes when someone has more knowledge than what you have, you will find that the situations are dealt with differently. And they're not the same all the way across the board. And you yourself will do that someday. I won't. Well, you ain't got good sense then. Because you're going to find out not every situation calls for the same dealing in the same kind of way. Oh, excuse me. You can if you want to. You can. Yes, you can do that. But there's a better way. There's a better way to take each thing on an individual basis and where somebody's at and where things and deal with things in that manner. You understand that? You can't. You can just go ahead, just flat across the board, blah, there it is. Or you can use some reason and some grace and take it on an individual basis. If you're allowed to and can. And let me tell you something. You got a lot of situations that you hope somebody will deal with you that way. Deal with you that way. And take those things into account. Anyway, it's a lot of what's going on here. Okay? When faced with such a situation, try to reason with all involved. Try to reason with everybody involved. Okay? So look what he says. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. Philemon, I'm sending Onesimus. Receive him. In other words, he's saying, I'm sending him in goodwill. Receive him in goodwill. I'm sending him back a saved man. Receive him as a saved man. But I give you tonight a little interesting possibility. A very interesting possibility that I think is probably not even a possibility, but a most likely probability. Look what Paul asked. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. Why is Paul asking Philemon to receive a young man that is his own property? Do you see the implications? Philemon probably didn't want him back. Remember, what did Paul just say about him? Which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Philemon probably didn't want him back. Think about this, and it opens up some things here. Brethren, Paul would not have to say, receive him. Receive him? Yeah, I receive him. He's mine. He's my property. Paul's asking Philemon. He's saying, I'm sending him back. Receive him. Receive him, my own bowels. He said, I know in the past he was unprofitable to you. There's the greatest of possibilities, yea, verily, possibly even probabilities, that Philemon did not want him back. If so, then it is of greater importance that he go back. What are you talking about, Brother Doss? Listen, if Philemon, as is quite likely, didn't want him back, it is all the more important that Onesimus does go back. Because he has to show Philemon that he is real and to make up for what he has cost him. Remember verse 11? Which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Paul is sending him back and he is willingly going back. Listen. there's the greatest of probabilities that Philemon did not want him back. He was unprofitable. He's gone. But Paul's sending him back. A saved man. And you know something? If Philemon doesn't want him back, it's all the more important that he does go back. Because you know what that's going to show? That's a saved man. That's a saved man who is going back. And you know what? He's going to be profitable now. Because he's cost him. Listen to me. If you weren't wanted back, let me ask you something. Young folks, or anybody in any situation, if you weren't wanted back in your home, in your place of, wherever, if you weren't wanted back, would you try to go anyway in order to be a blessing and to show that you're real and to make amends for wrongs? We don't like to hear that. We don't. If you were in a situation you didn't like and you were told, get out! Okay? You could tell yourself, I'm put out. But if you name the name of Christ, wouldn't a greater thing be, I want to go back and I want to be a blessing? So what am I talking about? Am I talking about truth? Is that impossible? Not in Christ. Who will receive it? Who will receive what I'm saying and be the better off for it in eternity? I had someone the other day text me. There's no one in this church, but I had someone the other day text me in a horrible, they're in a bad situation. They just are. Okay, they text me about they're in a marriage that it's miserable, horrible. It's bad. It's bad. It is bad. It is bad. It's just emotionally draining for the individual. It is bad. There's been all kind of bad stuff go on. It's just bad. And the sister writes text and says, I can't take it. I can't go on. This is killing me. I've had enough. But that's what you say. I swallowed hard. I had a clear direction from God. And I said, my dear sister, I'm sure it is. I don't doubt this is it's killing you. And I know it's hard. By the way, this wasn't just a one-time thing. This is something me and my wife have been dealing with, trying to help this individual. And I said, I know it's hard. I know it's killing you. But sister, you need to go wash that man's feet. I said, you have to love your way out of this one. Go wash his feet. Well, look here. You just can't. You need to hush your mouth. She needs to go wash his feet. Because it's, you know what it's going to do? It's going to kill her. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jesus Christ washed the feet of Judas, knowing he's going to betray him. He washed the feet of Peter, knowing he's going to deny him. He washed the feet of the rest of them, knowing they would forsake him. He washed their feet. Can I submit something to you? Well, did Jesus Christ become a man? We know he did, right? Is he God? Yes. But is he God who became a man? Yes, he is. Was Jesus Christ human? And as well as God. Yes, he was. Did Christ suffer hunger? Did he suffer thirst? Did he suffer pain? Oh, yes. Did it ever strike you that in his humanity, one of the ways to keep him very self from getting an attitude or to getting a bitter anger, wrathful, was to wash their feet? Think about it. They're going to betray him, deny him, and forsake him. And he washes their feet. Because they had just been fussing about who's going to be the number one. Who's going to be, you know, who's going to be first in the kingdom. Who's going to be. And he shows them this thing about serving. But he washed their feet. What are you going to say to Jesus, you don't understand? He does understand. lot of times we don't want the understanding. Brother, I didn't say it's easy. Do you think it's easy? Do you think it's easy to go and text somebody back who's in a situation like that and say, you got to go wash his feet? Do you think that's easy? What am I supposed to say? Oh, leave, gal. That's right. Just get bitter. I can't blame you. Why, the low-down, sorry rascal needs to be... What? Huh? What am I supposed to say? I'm supposed to say what that book says. It ain't easy. Great goodness, I know that ain't what she wanted to hear. I know that ain't what she wanted to hear. But when she came and she poured out, an answer's got to be given. That's right. And you know what? Because you know why? Because it's going to kill her. It's going to sap it. All it just about is. It's going to sap her mental capabilities and her health and destroy her. And there's some things you just got to love your way out of. If thine enemy hunger, what do you do to him? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Wash your feet. Onesimus is going back. I really believe, if we look at the wording, Paul is saying to Philemon, receive him. Why would you have to tell a man if he wants him back and it's his property, why would he have to tell him, Philemon, receive him? He probably didn't want him back. He's going back. Would you go back? Or would you take this as, that's my out, he don't want me? Or would you go back? Would you stop and consider yourself and say, you know what? I wasn't the best servant. And I want to go back. I want him to see I'm real. I know the Lord. And I want to go back and be a blessing. And I want to be profitable. Any young person in this room, if you profess salvation, when you was lost before you were saved, have you always been a blessing to your home? Think about it. If your parent told you, go, would you take it? Or would you stop and say, you know what? You know what? I've probably not been as profitable as I could be. And I want to be that. And I want to stay and be a blessing to my home. Until you can leave a blessing or a father gives you away. Listen. Nobody is your problem. They're your excuse. Nobody is your problem. They are your excuse. What do we do? Did we say something different to you that will pacify you, make you feel good now, but hurt you in eternity? Or do you want the truth? Nobody's your problem. They're your excuse. Look at your own self. If you are looking at how you are done, you're missing it. Look at your own self and determine how you can be a blessing in your home and your capacity as either husband, as wife, as child, to be a blessing at work, to be a blessing in your church, to be a blessing. Are you looking at something as my way out? Or would you volunteer? And it's where you can say, hey, I was sent out. I was kicked out. Hey. Or would you really be willing to go with hat in hand in humility saying, I'm sorry. I've not been the best whatever I want to be for Christ's sake. I want to try. You just don't understand, preacher. No, I do. You don't. Husband, wife, young person. No, you don't understand. What do you want? Let me tell you what you want to hear. Do what you want. That'll make you feel good now. What about eternity? Paul is sending him back, and he's going back. There's the greatest of possibilities. He didn't have to, really. Possibly Philemon didn't want him back, but he's going back. And you know what? He's going to be back, going to go back to be profitable this time. Again, Paul could have kept him. And you know what Paul could have done? Paul could have kept him and been benefited by him. Because he was benefiting Paul. Paul's a prisoner. Onesimus was doing things for him. He was ministering to him. But he knew that Onesimus and Philemon needed to be reconciled, if possible. And Onesimus needed to make some things right. Listen. Young folks, you want to start out good. You want to start out on a firm, good footing. And if you look at ways you feel like you are done or have been done, or things that you think are unbalanced or unfair, or like that, and you leave, and you take that attitude and let it just gripe with you, you're not leaving on good footing, and it's only going to hurt you. You need to wash some feet. You need desire to be a blessing. That's right. You need to wash feet. And if your attitude is, no, you don't understand. No, dear one, you don't understand. It's going to eat you up. Don't look for God to help step in the situation in any way to be a blessing. Some things you got to love your way out of. You say, preacher, I can't. Yes, you can if the Lord dwells within you. It might be hard. It might take some tears. And it's going to take death of self. But yes, we can. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Brethren, we can't look at a situation based on all the justifications for why I'm going to be bitter or angry or whatever. We need to look at ways to be a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. And get in something that God can get in. And I'm just as serious as I can be. I didn't say any of this is easy. But it's Bible doctrine. It's Bible doctrine. Too many people get concentrated on the hurt that's been done for them. Or how I've been treated. And all it does is eat you alive. It'll eat you alive. When are you going to get on past things and do right by God and look to Him? It'll eat you alive. That's the truth. It's just as true as can be. I'll say it again. No problem. No person is your problem. They're your excuse. They're your excuse. Look here. Let's go on. Look what he says. Verse 12. Whom I have sinned again, thou therefore receive him. That is mine own bowels. Onesimus had become dear and helpful to Paul. Paul would have liked to have retained him, but he loved Onesimus and he loved Philemon enough to send Onesimus back. Did you know something? True love is willing to make the hard calls, though it may grieve us personally. Do we really want what is best for the one that we say we're helping, or do we only want what benefits us? That's a question we've got to ask. Do we really want what's best for that individual or only just what benefits us? And true love will make those hard calls. You know what? Evidently Philemon, I mean, honestly, you get the feeling Philemon didn't really want him back. He's being a help to Paul. Paul needs help. Paul is in prison. He needs help. Evidently Philemon didn't want him. Did you see how easy the case could be made for just keeping Philemon around, Onesimus around? But I'll be. That aged Paul, they got to a place where that guy's got some wisdom, buddy, and a walk with God, and he knows, look here, it's not about how I get benefited. It's not about how the blessing Onesimus can be to be. Them two need to be reconciled. Onesimus needs to go back and show that he's real, be a blessing to Philemon, and try to pay back some of that cost that he cost him in being unprofitable, and now be profitable to him. And that's what's best for both of them. And he's willing to do that. He's willing to do what's best for them rather than how he could tweak the situation to work it best for Paul. Hard call, brother. Did you know there are a lot of situations in life that God will put you through, He'll put us through, to reveal and show where we are, to where if we want to technically justify ourselves, we can. But God's using it to prove us. Study, brethren, study your Bible. And what I mean by study about, study those men of the Bible. Look at David. Poor David. On the run, you know. And so, there he is in a cave hiding. And lo and behold, it's Saul. It's Saul. And David's men said, David, this is the day the Lord spoke to you of. I'll deliver your enemy into your hand. Evidently, we don't really see it. Evidently, God had mentioned to David, I'll deliver you. Wow. Here is the chance. God didn't say David was supposed to kill him. He said, I'll deliver. It's a test. Did you know David could have killed Saul? Who could have said anything against him? The man's trying to kill David. The man's trying to kill him. But David says, no, it's not my place. That's the anointed of God. What kind of authority was Saul? He was possessed. He was murderous. But he was the authority and he was anointed by God. David said, I ain't touching him. His day will come to die. It's God's deal, not mine. And by the way, can I remind you something? Who's going to be king one day? David. Those men fighting under Saul are going to fight under who one day? David. Already there is rumor about David. He's nothing but a rebel. If David takes matters in his own hands, guess what people can say? But you know what? By handling it this way, you think Saul's men don't go away going? Can't you imagine them marching back? Hey, what? You think what I'm thinking? Oh, yeah. I saw it. Man, this stuff we've been hearing about David, it can't be right. That was his chance. That was his chance. Everybody's telling us David's a rebel. Saul's saying that David's a usurper, that David's... This don't make no sense. You know, I've been thinking the same thing. That's helping people to get a right picture. David passed the test. Don't you and I wish it was just one test every year? Or just once a lifetime, huh? I'll be. It happens again. Sometimes you wish, it's like, Lord, I did this one. I mean, really? It's like, Lord, I passed that one. You told me I did. Not again. And really? I'm serious. I look at that and I'm like, oh, same thing. Delivered to David's hand again. And this time, plausible deniability. That's a term that came into vogue in the certain administrations. Plausible deniability. In other words, Abishai says, David, I'll do it. David, I'll do it. Innocent hands, David. You didn't do it. David, I will kill him. David, I won't have to strike him but once. You know what David could have done? Well, you know them crazy nephews of mine shoot. You can't control them boys. You get a bunch of red-blooded fellas together, and you know how they're going to do. You know how they're going to do. But you know what David knew inside? I'm their leader. It's on my head. And I'm the one. He goes, no. Can't do it. And he didn't do it. And let me tell you something. If that didn't affirm some things in some people's minds before, it does now. Those men got to know. Did it again. Twice. God put a sleep on Saul and them. What I'm saying is, brethren, God did put Saul in that cave. God did allow them to go to sleep there, that plane that night. But not for the purposes others thought. Brethren, what God may be doing in your life, other people will try to tell you it's for this. It might be for something totally different. The thing may definitely be of God, but not for what others may think. You just do right. You just, no matter what other people may whisper in your ear, you do what you know is right because you're the one that's got to give account. You remember that? Those tests come up. And they get repeated. Not enjoyable. They're not. And what's aggravating sometimes, Lord help us, but is to be faced with the same one. When we felt like we did the right thing, and I'll be a week later, something like that, there, that thing comes again. God's got purposes in what He's allowing. Now, we can't see the full thing in it. Just do right. Just do right. What I'm telling you, brethren, is listen, we can often technically justify ourselves. God put him in my place. Man, I didn't do it. God put him there. Hey, my parent, my boss, they sent me away. They said, hey, that, you know. But how are we going to handle it? How are we going to handle it? They kicked me out. Hey, you know. Okay. But what's the best and right thing here? What's the true spiritual thing? Paul could have said, Onesimus could have said, he don't want me, Paul. I know it. And you have been a help to me. I mean, he don't want him and he is a help to me. Paul ain't playing that stuff. Man, Lord help us to be. Paul ain't playing that stuff. He goes, look, you're his. You need to go back as a saved man and be a blessed man. And Onesimus is willing to do it too. He's willing to do it. He didn't try to technically tweak things for his own benefit. May the Lord help us. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, I believe, Lord, surely I speak for all the brethren here tonight, as I say to you myself, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Help me, Father. I need your grace, I need your help, I need your strength. Oh, Father, oh, Father, oh, dear Father, help me, Lord, help us all to be so careful how we interpret a situation, how we try to tweak it around. Lord, help us to cleanly, plainly, just do right. Do right. Lord, by Thee, by others. Oh, Father, help us, Lord, to please deliver us from the cage and the bondage of, Lord, looking at our situation and bemoaning ourselves of how maybe we get treated or done rather than, Lord, look or how we assume we are rather than looking, Lord, to You. And loving our way out of it, as it were. Lord, in no way are we talking about excusing any kind of wrong. Father, the Lord Jesus did not excuse Judas's betrayal. He didn't excuse it. But he washed his feet, knowing what would happen. And Father, the Lord Jesus did not look at it as a light thing of what Peter did. But he washed his feet and prayed for him, Father, because he knew Peter's faith would be sorely tested and would fail him. The potential, Lord, for him to fail, the faith to fail. When he told him that Satan desired to have him to sift him like wheat, but he prayed for him that his faith fell not. And Father, the Lord Jesus washed the rest of them feet, knowing they'd lead him. Father, please help us, dear Father, to realize that if the blessed, sinless Savior could so behave himself that we, redeemed sinners, who have definitely had our hand in enough of our own troubles, Lord, can truly, by your grace and help, show the same kind of spirit of generosity, kindness, and blessing. Lord, if it doesn't benefit the other individuals, it will benefit us, Father, by saving us from the bitterness and the destruction that such attitudes bring. Father, we ask this, please, according to Thy will, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate you folks. Love you. Love you. Hope you have a good week. Hope to see you come Wednesday. God bless you. God bless you, everyone. Amen. Amen. I will say this as you're going, as you're leaving, I will say this. Next time you find yourself, as you will sometime, brooding and getting angry and upset inside over a slight or something the way you've been done, why don't you stop and say, a minute, what can I do to be a blessing to this person? At the minimum, let me pray for them. But there's some way I could even wash their feet. It may not benefit them, but it'll benefit you. It'll deliver you from the self-destruction that bitterness and anger brings upon oneself.